rejoicing as we come to joy on this third week of Advent. The title is Rejoicing, and I would invite you to join me in prayer. Most wonderful, kind, loving, caring Father, Son, and Spirit, God, for the joy that you bring, the joy that comes into our lives in so many ways. Speak your words this morning, that you would speak to each one, that we would hear what you have prepared. God, it is your message, and I joyfully look forward to what you have. And God, I just praise you in Christ's name. Amen. Joy can take on a lot of different approaches. This past week, there have been some of the most gorgeous sunsets and sunrises. Now, is that something we look at and take for granted? Or do we look at it and go, wow, you painted a good one this time? But the joy of seeing, and they have been absolutely spectacular. If you've missed, I'm sorry, they were pretty awesome. Maybe reconnecting with a friend causes joy, brings joy to your heart to make that step, that connection. Maybe you've been on a trip, or maybe it's just simply driving at night on a road that is notorious for having deer, and you make it home safely. Does that bring joy? It brings joy to me when I have my family out and they come home and there's not an event. That's a big deal, and I am very happy, and it's exciting to see what joy God is going to bring into our life. Yesterday was filled with the day camp of joy, watching these kids. And I hope that the pictures that were taken, that will be a little video or something put together so that you can maybe get a little picture of what that joy was in these little kids' spectrums. It just flowed out of them, the joy that they brought. And as I mentioned earlier, they took the wooden blocks on their own and built the steps up, and they took the blocks and made a cross, and they called it Stairway to Heaven. Where does that come from? It comes from our Father and Jesus and the Holy Spirit that brings those things to us, that brings that into our lives. It's easy to rejoice when everything seems to go our way. From the bills that are paid, food to eat, family's health is good, great neighbors, friends, and all around. As we drive, every light imaginably is green. We don't have to stop. That causes me a great deal of joy. Let me tell you, I hate red lights anyway. We come across maybe a gas station that has lower gas prices, and you're thinking, what a blessing. What a gorgeous blessing that is. Rejoicing in difficult times can be tough. Health problems. Bills add up to more money before the month is over. Food is scarce. Neighbors are complaining about us again. I give a little example. This past week, in my particular life, there's been a death or a funeral every single day of the week for me. And these are people that I know, people that I care about. And in the three deaths that are most prominent, there was joy for me. They were all up in their years. And as I talked with my neighbor lady that I care very much about last Sunday, she's in a hospital bed there in her apartment. Hospice is taking care. And she goes, I'm ready. I'm on my way. And she was excited, but then she said, "But I'm scared. I don't know the steps." I said, "It doesn't matter. It's going to be awesome wherever this ends up at." And she's just, it was comforting to her, but when she passed, yes, I felt the loss. And it hurt, but I was so joyful because she had finished her race. And it was the same way with the others. Their race was over. And they are experiencing joy like I can't even begin to describe. So joy can be, in some cases, bittersweet. But if we look at God's involvement, His timing, His love, joy is always, always there with Him. It's something that He brings. When you hear someone talk about joy, what comes to mind? We hear it a lot right now. You know, it's a season to be joyful. And this, you know, take a moment or this week and reflect on when you hear the word joy, what do you think of? Is it something that's encouraging and uplifting? Is it maybe bittersweet like I was expressing? But yet, I wouldn't want any one of them to not experience that joy, that experience. What brings you the greatest joy? You know, is it your family? I love my family. We're going to have our family over Christmas Eve. And of all things, we're going to fix breakfast. Grandkids' choice. And I expect it to be just an incredible, joyful time. It's those events that I'm looking forward to. My family is a huge part of joy in my life. How about your faith? Does that bring you joy? Or does that maybe kind of a heavy thing to carry with? Joy is there very much in our faith. How about Jesus Christ? Yeah, that is what brings the greatest joy for me. And I hope and trust that it does for you too. The very essence of Jesus living in us, giving us those opportunities to experience joy. Thursday, our Bible camp, we have the God Can that kids can write prayers or comments in, and they leave them. Sometimes they put their name, sometimes they don't. This one came from last Thursday. God, thank you for this day. I love you so much. Thank you, God. And I'm pretty sure this was a third grader. That encapsulates everything, doesn't it? I mean, can we have that approach that this third grade kid had? It was a big deal. They shared. They loved. Today's text comes from Matthew 11, 2 through 11. John the Baptist is experiencing some very tough times. His ministry had stopped. Was his ministry at an end? Because he's in prison, confined to isolation, harsh treatment, very limited lighting and comfort. You know, and you think, okay, let's look at that environment. Isolation. Isolation will drive people really insane over time. That's been one of the most cruel punishments that they have imprisoned people and just locked them away with no human contact. Harsh treatment, we don't know what that was like, but you can imagine it wasn't like a prison that we would have today that has controlled heat and cold, you know, meals on a regular basis, I mean, prison today is no walk in the park, don't get me wrong. But you can go back into the medieval times, and certainly at this time that John was imprisoned, it would not have been a good place to be. And the concept of limited light, how does most of you feel about cloudy days every day, every day, every day? The sun doesn't shine where you can see it. Does it affect your demeanor? Is there maybe a little depression that sets in? If you haven't had the sun shining for a while, today is a gorgeous example. People, even though it's cold, the sun is shining. But he was in an environment with probably very limited light. So that again, was part of the psychology that plays into someone in prison at that time. And I'm quite sure that he didn't have a cushioned bed or cot to sleep on. Imagine the effect of his circumstances and wondering if his ministry was at an end. All of these things were playing into his mind as he's working there. Question is, do you have circumstances that cause you to wonder, why me? Why am I in this situation? God, why is this in front of me right now? Or what now? You know, it just, something else just hits. What now, God? And it comes to, what do I do now? Maybe it's a bill that you were not expecting and not prepared for. Maybe it's a loss of a mate. Maybe it's a loss of a child, a neighbor, a friend. What do I do now? In a very narrow way, when I walk out my door, I have for years looked at a certain apartment every time I come out of the house. This week, Wednesday moving on, I looked at the same unit and nobody's home. And I know that. And I miss. But then I think, oh, where she's at is so cool. But it's still, what next? Those are very real things that we deal with. John the Baptist was clear about the role God had given him. He preached the coming Messiah to all. That would have been a very big deal that he had, but he understood that calling. He had been leading people to repentance, to change the way they thought about God and Jesus. This was his call. This was his job. This is what he did. He did not pull punches with the people. He spoke, repent and be ready to all. And it ultimately landed him in prison because they didn't like what he was saying. When you call out the ruler for choices he made, probably doesn't bode well. But he didn't back away from it. He did that. While baptizing people, Jesus came to be baptized. John called Jesus the Lamb of God. And then in verses 16 and 17 of Matthew 3. And when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the waters were opened to him, and he saw God's Spirit descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." I was reading through this again this morning, just going through, and I was struck with a thought. I don't have the answer, just a question. Was this privy to everyone there to hear those words? It doesn't say. It said these things were said. Somebody heard it because it's recorded, but was this the masses that were around, did they hear this? It was important enough for God to have it put in the Bible for us to understand that John baptized Jesus, and God acknowledged this was his son. After baptizing Jesus, John continues to tell people to repent and point them to Jesus. That's what he did. He was following that calling to continue to do what he had always done. This was what he was doing. In John 3, verses 28 through 30, John made it clear what his role was. You yourselves are my witnesses that I said, I am not the Messiah. John made it very clear, I'm not the Messiah. You may hear a lot of things, but that's not, I am not him. But I have been sent ahead of him. He must increase, but I must decrease. You know what happened? Many of his disciples left him to follow Jesus. Think about that. That's what he was encouraging them to do. But when it happened, well, they were here. What is my role now? Was this a joyful time for John to see his disciples following Jesus instead? He pointed them to Jesus, and they did so. But it had to be something that he had to wrestle with, I'm quite sure. Even as the crowds around John became smaller, he remained committed to his calling. And then he was put in prison. In verse 2, when John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another? Are you the Messiah? Is my mission finished? I mean, these were questions that John would have had. And you read the whole story, John was a family member. They talk about a cousin of Jesus. My question is that, did he ask this question rhetorically, because he already knew the answer, but he wanted everyone else to hear the answer? I don't know. What question might you have asked in that situation? Was he asking so that others could hear from a number of sources? It's an interesting thing. John's story is filled with a lot of turmoil, a lot of challenges, a lot of in-your-face preaching. But there's joy in all of that because he was speaking about Jesus. And he was pointing people to Jesus. That's what comes to for us. We read this. It's all about pointing to Jesus. And there is joy in that. Jesus answered them in verse 4, go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight. The lame walk. Those with a skin disease are cleansed. The deaf hear. The dead are raised. And the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me. Jesus understands our doubts and fears. He encourages us to ask. He wants us to bring our doubts to him, to share our fears, to ask questions. He wants to hear from us. Recently, I was talking with someone. They were sharing a painful situation in their life, full of pain and hurt. And I purposely make this a little vague, but they were and have experienced pain and hurt, emotional pain and hurt. And I just point blank, and I don't know, I know it came from God because I'm not smart enough to think of the things to say at the right times. But from my voice she heard. I asked them to tell God their situation. You know what their answer was? I never thought about doing that. And this person I know believes in God. I know that without a doubt. But to have those words come out, I know where they came from. And her response was, I never thought about sharing that question with God. You've heard me say numerous times, especially of recent, God's timing is perfect. And God is fully aware of their situation, your situation, your neighbor's across the street situation, your neighbor next door. God is aware. And he wants to hear from us. He wants us to respond and ask, God, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to say. But this is pain that won't go away. Would you help this situation along? Give me peace. Give me joy, because this person in this situation does not experience joy. But God knows how to fix the problem. Jesus responds to John's question of, are you the Messiah? Remember what you know about me. Remember the answered prayers, the miracles, the inspiration, the many times I've been there for you, the times I have lifted you up. Remember all you've learned about who I am in you, who I am in others. Trust me, Jesus is saying, coming from him. Don't take offense that I haven't answered your prayer in the way you want. And that is very real. Trust my will, because in me there is life, truth, resurrection, hope, peace, joy, and love. And, you know, this response applies to us also. Jesus' words are just as true to us, that we can experience his joy. John understood Jesus' answer, but didn't make his life in prison any easier. It was a tough time for John, but God showed up with the Messiah, with the right words. His bed probably didn't sleep any better. There was probably no more light in there in his prison cell, but there was a peace and a joy that comes from God. Verse 7, as they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds about John. What did you go out in the wilderness to look at? And we talked about last week of the people came into the wilderness, and it is very much a wilderness. What did you go out to the wilderness to look at? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? Someone dressed in soft robes? Look, those who wear soft robes are in royal prisons. What then did you go out to see? This wasn't a comfortable place. A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is the one about whom it is written, see, I am sending my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you. Truly, I tell you, among those born of women, no one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Now, that's a big statement when you think about it. No one has arisen greater than John the Baptist. Yet the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Hierarchical, think about that. That is a powerful statement. As great as John the Baptist was, citizens of God's kingdom are even greater. We are citizens of his kingdom. Think about that. Put your name in that. These are words of affirmation, words of confirmation, words of hope, words of peace, and words of joy. Advent 3 reminds us of who Jesus is and what he was and is doing. Now I want to read a few things about this segment about Jesus, who he is. Jesus is the one who gives the blind their sight, physically, spiritually, and mentally. That's a powerful topic. To have the emotional healing, the spiritual healing, and the physical ability to see. Jesus is the one who heals again, both literally and spiritually. Jesus heals people with disabilities and those sick with skin diseases and much more. Jesus is our healer. But he also heals us mentally and spiritually. I believe many of us look forward to that day when we stand before Jesus completely healed. Can you even imagine what that will be like? My friend from across the street, she knew where she was going. She was confident of that. She was scared about the journey. But I did imagine what that looked like for her. To step into the arms of Jesus Christ. And I will tell you, the one that has lived with me for 18 plus years now, sitting on the front row at my father's funeral. He was an amputee, as you know. He'd lost from a knee down, one leg. Can you imagine what that looked like for him? You know what I thought of? Him skipping, not walking, but skipping. Two legs, 2 feet, holding the hand of Jesus. And that has given me great comfort. When we talk about, can we imagine? Mercy Me has a song, Can You Only Imagine? And that's all it is an image, an imagination. And I don't think we can touch how awesome it really, truly will be. How great that experience has been. I remembered, I think it was Friday, a birthday of a member here that meant a great deal to me. And I can imagine the joy and the conversations this person was asking God about. It's just tremendous. Jesus is the one who raises the dead, who destroyed death, and who promised that all who have died will be raised. It's not a question of if, will be raised. Jesus is the one who brings good news. You are forgiven. You are included. You are adopted. You are chosen. You are loved. And if that doesn't bring joy to your heart, talk to God and he'll show you. Advent reminds us Jesus came to usher in his kingdom. The weeks and the month of Advent, Jesus' kingdom is here. It is coming. He is living in us. He is giving us a taste of his kingdom. Yesterday in those kids, I saw faces. Yes, it's coming. And there's joy. He will return bringing his kingdom in its fullness. That's a promise. That is coming. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. From Philippians 4:4. If you would join me in prayer. Loving Father, Jesus and the Holy Spirit, thank you for the words of encouragement. Thank you for this Advent season that points to everything about you. And God, for the men and women who have carried that cross through the centuries, to bringing it to us that we pick up the cross and carry it with you, Jesus, and joyfully share your presence to others that is in our lives. God, I just ask that we would all be given the words to say at the right time. You promised, and I believe it happens. And God, I thank you for joy and the very concept of imagining how awesome that is. I just thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Do it something just a little bit different. I'm going to read again. And I know I've read a fair amount. So buckle up, poke your neighbor, whatever, but let's listen. Communion is a sacrament that takes on special meaning during Advent. The Eucharist is a unique blessing in the Advent season because of its past, present, and future connotations. For this season, meditate on the following quote from an author, Rowan Williams. Quote, "In the Eucharist, we are at the center of the world. We are where Christ, the Son, gives his life to his Father in spirit. And in the Eucharist, we are at the end of the world. We are seeing how the world's calling is fulfilled in advance. We are seeing ourselves and our world as they really are, contemplating them in the depths of God, finding their meaning in relation to God. With you in the fountain of life, says the psalm, and in that fountain that we drink from the Holy Communion." I'm going to add some verses to what's on the screen. But from 1 Corinthians 11, I'm going to pick it up in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this in remembrance. You drink it in remembrance of me.'" And then in verse 26, "For as often as you eat this bread and proclaim the drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. And you've heard it before, and you will hear it again. He is coming." If that doesn't bring joy, there is nothing that can top that. Jesus coming back. And we will experience it in one way or another. We can't escape. We don't want to escape. Being in the joy of ascension with Jesus, how awesome is that? You're welcome to come. All are welcome. If you would join me in prayer. Father God, Jesus in the Spirit, thank you for the elements at the table, the representation of Jesus, and God, for your absolute love for each one of us, for the joy that comes to us because of you. I just pray your blessing on each, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
Let's close our service with prayer. Father, our Advent theme today is joy. But joy is not just for this week. Give us encouragement. Give us joy every day. Give it constantly. Wonderful, wonderful joy it is to know that you give us the opportunity to be in your presence, to feel your love. The world right now is not a very joyful place, but we have your kingdom to look forward to, and that will be a joyful place. Be with us this week, and may you be in the forefront of our minds in everything that we do. Thank you for Jesus, and we pray this in his name. Amen. And our benediction this week is Romans 15, verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. Be filled with joy this week and every week. Amen.